If you're not familiar with a Baptist church, when the pastor gets up and says, "And everybody said," you give a amen. Or an oh me. But anyway, wonderful. Well, if you are a guest today, we are going through the book of 2 Samuel. And we're continuing that today. And we are in chapter 21, beginning with verse 15, one of the most unique accounts, historical accounts, in all of the Bible. You might recall that these events that we're talking about, beginning in chapter 21 all the way to the end of the book, are different accounts of things that happened during David's 40-year reign, when he throughout his 40-year reign. And he's an older man in this account, and we're going to see something that happens to him. And basically what these last few chapters do is tell us that David was a man after God's own heart. You know, the question's been asked, and I've answered it, but I want to answer it again. The question's been asked, how can David be a man after God's own heart and still be a man who sinned so greatly and was not even close to perfect? Our choir has been singing about that all morning long. The answer is Jesus, and the answer is the cross. We're not perfect people, but we're redeemed people, and we are being perfected in Christ Jesus. And so we're going to see something here that I hope will encourage you. And not only encourage you, but I hope will motivate you to be a soldier for Christ, a soldier for the Lord, and to stay on the battlefield as long as you can, doing everything you can. And so let's read this text together, beginning with chapter 21, verse 15. I'm about to impress you with these names now, and you're going to think, man, he is so smart, he just quoted those names, just pronounced those names so correctly. How do you know? I'm just going to get up here and say it like I see it, and I may get to heaven and one of these guys come up and say, "You sure did mess up my name." But that's all right. So let's read it together. "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, one of Goliath's descendants," his son or grandson in Hebrew way of thinking. "And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him," helped him, "and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, 'Thou shalt not go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel.' And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant," one of the descendants of Goliath. "And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jeorjeam, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers and on every foot six toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Now you have a Bible story at bedtime for your children. And you're asking, well, he might have got the names right, but how in the world is he going to get anything for us to hang our hat on for our life? How in the world? Well, if you were with me a couple of years ago when I began to study 2 Samuel in preparation for these sermons, you're asking the same question I was back then, and you just got to pray it through. But what we have here is David in his later years, and he's doing what kings do. They go out to battle. That's just one of the things that they do. You remember there was a day when he was a young man and he did not go out to battle. And he didn't faint, but he fell morally with Bathsheba. And now he's going out to battle as an older man. We see in this text some soldiers. Some soldiers. I was so blessed today, and my heart was warmed by some of the old hymns that I grew up on as we sang today. Nothing wrong with other songs, but those old hymns, particularly this morning, just warm my heart for what God has done for us in Christ. There's some other old hymns we sing. Onward, Christian soldiers. Remember that? There's another little ditty we used to sing in Vacation Bible School. I mentioned it before. I'm in the Lord's army. Remember that one? I told Cole last year I want to sing it in Vacation Bible School, and I don't know if we did or not, so Cole's going to come up right now, and no, I'm just playing. We're not going to do that. But I'm in the Lord's army, and today I want to talk to you about being a soldier for Christ. And we're going to look at some interesting things, and we're going to look at three different kinds of soldiers for Christ today. And one of these soldiers fits you, I hope. And all three of them are wonderful. All three of them are exactly the kind of soldier that God wants them to be. All three of them are exactly where they need to be in their life. So first of all, we see the seasoned soldier. The seasoned soldier. I'm talking about David. We do not know exactly when this event happened in David's experience, but we do know it was toward the end of his life and the end of his reign because he was a much older man. And so it's very possible that it's been 50 years, right about 50 years, that he killed Goliath. Back when he walked out onto that battlefield in the valley of Elah, picked up 5 smooth stones from the brook, and said, "How dare you defy the armies of the living God?" Goliath said, "I'm going to take your little carcass and I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air." And he said, "You come to me with swords and spears, I come to you in the name of the Lord God Jehovah." And with one sling, like a rocket, David slew that giant who is still haunting the people of Israel 50 years later. We just read about it. David is an older man now, and he's a seasoned soldier. When you get to be a seasoned soldier of the Lord, in the Lord's work, in the Lord's army, in the Lord's church, there's a couple of things that begin to happen. First, we see spiritual maturity. A seasoned soldier for Christ is a Christian who has grown in the Lord through the years. And they've been faithful, and they're still faithful. And if you're a seasoned soldier, you know two things in terms of your spiritual walk with the Lord. Number one, you know that the Christian life is a perpetual battle. It's not a playground. It's not a recreation room. It's a perpetual battle. The Bible says in our text, the Philistines made war yet again. There is always a war within the Christian life. It is always a battle. You're never out of the fight. Pity the Christian who has had his faith and his relationship with the world and his temptation to handle temptations. Pity the Christian who has that made light of and has had it, and I want to coin a new word, cutified, as it's just something that's cute. It is a perpetual battle. David went out to battle many, many times. We have seen it in his life. The second thing is not only spiritual maturity, but spiritual maturity, perpetual battle, but also spiritually, you know, if you're a seasoned Christian, don't want to leave this out, you are prepared for battle. He goes out to fight, and this fella by the name of Ishbi-Benob shows up. What an interesting name. Who names their sons Ishbi-Benob? The answer is this guy's mama. And they're Philistines. And so this guy's mama names him Ishbi-Benob. And notice something about his weapons. Now, David's going out to battle. It's been 50 years since he fought Goliath. He's going out to battle, and this man, Ishbi-Benob, has a spear, and the spearhead weighed 7.5 pounds and was made of brass. That is nothing. That is a sissy spear. Goliath's spear weighed 600 shekels, 15 pounds, and was made not of brass but of iron. This guy thought he was something, but God had prepared David years ago with a heavier spear. And when you are a seasoned saint, you know that the things you have experienced in life, the battles you have fought in life, all prepare you for the next one. And that is spiritual maturity. And you're able to face it with confidence, just like David faced it with confidence. And that's one side of the coin to this account of David. Spiritual maturity. But there's also physical maturity. Age. I'm talking about physical age. Just a couple of things here that we see in this text about growing older. By the way, you can be friends with anybody because you all have that one thing in common. You are growing older. We are all growing older. Would you agree with that? If you don't, let me know when your funeral is. I'll attend it. That's when you stop growing older. Notice in one way we are prepared by our past experiences as David was of what God has seen us through. The past victories in the name of the Lord give us strength and they give us courage. But while the spearheads of the past have prepared us for the spearheads we face now, Ishbi-Benob also carried a new sword, didn't he? A new sword. As we mature physically, the temptations seem to change. When you're a young boy, your temptations are different. Amen? When you get older, your temptations are different. They might be more temptations of the disposition than they are of anything else. As we mature physically, we also have new trials. We also have new limitations. Here's a lesson. David grew faint. He grew weary out there on the battlefield. He was an older man now, physically speaking. He could not physically fight the Philistines like he once fought the Philistines. We all get there. We all get there. In August, I know I will be 60 years old. Now, I know you didn't think that I was going to be 60 years old in August. That's because you didn't know my birthday was in August. No, you thought I was going to be 40. No, that's my wife. But anyway, and I'm a relatively young man. I'm a healthy. I've got my health. I feel great. But I don't preach like I used to preach when I was 20. You can ask Miss Tracy. Back then I would run up and down the aisles preaching. I'm not joking. I'd run up and down the aisles hollering out loud, preaching, spit on everybody, carry on. Now I just spit on Jay and Missy. But physically we change and we can't do what we used to do. Is that right? And people serve the Lord and they begin to realize as they come to age, hey, I can't do this like I used to do. I can't physically do it. And that's very okay. There's not one thing wrong with that. Because you continue to do all you can, when you can, how you can. And also there may be other ministries for you to do. And so we got to keep on keeping on. But remember, we read about another old man, if you will. And that's the difference. David was seasoned. He still went out, and now he's realizing his limitations. But remember, there was a fellow by the name of Barzillai who looked at David and said, I can't go anymore because I am of age. I'm in my 80s. I'm going to go back and sit in my rocking chair and just die. Remember him? That's the difference between an old man and a seasoned man. That's good preaching. I want to be a seasoned man. And I want to tell you real quick, I'm very thankful for our senior adults. Cole and I were talking this morning about Vacation Bible School, and I said, man, the retirees, and he said, we are loaded up with retirees during Vacation Bible School. I appreciate that. I appreciate those senior soldiers of the Lord who keep on going as long as they can, and when they can't do what they have done, they start doing something else. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. David was always the soldier he could be. He was always the soldier that God needed him to be. Even later on, we're going to see in a couple of weeks after Easter, we're going to see David's last word, and he's still a soldier. He's just not out there on the field fighting Philistines with a sword, but he's doing something else. He's got another direction as a soldier of the Lord. And so, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And then, he gets on the battlefield as we read. And this Ishbi-Benob, with that spear he thinks is really something, and that new sword, he looks across the way and through the dust of battle, he sees David starting to breathe a little heavy, unable to go like he used to go. And Ishbi-Benob, this descendant of the giant of Goliath, gets it in his head, this is my opportunity to kill David. Do you see it? And so he starts heading to David. And I love verse 17, but Abishai steps in. So now the focus goes from David, the senior seasoned soldier, to the succoring soldier. The word succor means to help, but it's a particular word which means to help in times of distress. This man named Abishai saw what was going on. He always had his eye on David on the battlefield, apparently, and he saw what was going on. David is about to be killed by this Ishbi-Benob, and Abishai steps up. Now, who is this Abishai that comes in and helps David where David is fainting? By the way, David didn't fail. He fainted. He was always faithful. He didn't fail. He fainted. There's a difference. There's a difference. God knows his physical stamina, and God protected him that day and was showing him, hey, David, you got this Abishai. So Abishai was David's nephew. So you had David, the seasoned older soldier. And then you had Abishai, the middle-aged man. You had Abishai probably in his 40s or 50s maybe. Maybe if not that old, who knows. But he was David's nephew. Remember, he was Joab's brother. And here he is, this Abishai. I have mentioned Abishai in our text many, many times. He shows up quite a bit. He has been with David since David's earliest days when David was running from Saul before he was ever king. And Abishai was a young hotshot. He was brash. He was gung-ho. I like him. I really like Abishai. When I get to heaven, I want to meet Abishai. And I'm going to ask him about this Ishbi-Benob character. You know, did he really think he was all that? But Abishai was this middle-aged, if you will, and I'm not putting a number on that, but middle-aged. He wasn't young and he wasn't seasoned like David. And he was a man who had grown in the Lord. And we see a pattern in his life all the way back to 1 Samuel. And some of you might recall how the Lord disciplined him and built him up. The first time we see him is 1 Samuel chapter 26. David is a fugitive from Saul. And David goes down to the camp of Saul, and God puts a deep sleep on Saul. And Abishai is with him, and Abishai takes his spear and says, here he is right here. Let me pin him to the ground with his spear, and he won't get up, David. I mean, that's what he says. He says, I won't have to strike him twice. You know, he's kind of brash. You know, he's braggadocious. And David has to restrain him. And then we see him another time in 2 Samuel 3. Joab, his brother, has murdered somebody that David wanted to reconcile with, Abner, the enemy. And Abishai was knowledgeable of that, knew about that. But David says of Abishai and Joab, these two sons of Zerah, my nephews, are too hard for me to deal with. And he has to rebuke Abishai. And then we see him twice in chapter 16 when David, of 2 Samuel, when David is fleeing from Absalom. Remember the guy who stood on the edge of the cliff throwing rocks at him? His name was Shimei. He was of the house of Saul, and he's throwing rocks and he's cursing David. And Abishai's down there with David, and I love old Abishai. Abishai says, won't you let me go on up to that hill and cut his head off? I love Abishai. He would make a PG movie rated R. Let me go up there and cut his head off. And David says, now Abishai, let me remind you, God's going to take care of you. And then when they're coming back after the rebellion of Absalom's over, Shimei shows up again. And Abishai leans over to David and says, there's Shimei, the one who was cursing you and throwing rocks. You wouldn't let me take his head off then. Won't you let me take it off now? And David says, no, Abishai. Let me remind you, we're going to be gracious. We're going to show mercy. And so David kind of had to move Abishai along a little bit in his temperament and his disposition, teach him who the real enemy was. And now all these years later, this young man has become a middle-aged man, spiritually perhaps, but I'm not trying to put a number on it, but he's in the middle here, and what does he do? His eyes are on David, And he stands between David and Ishbi-benob, and he slays Ishbi-benob. He finally knows who the real enemy is. He finally knows where to place his anger. He finally knows how to handle a battle and which battles to fight. And David now can rely on him. And now he looks at David and says, David, you are the light of Israel. And you don't need to be on the battlefield. I've got it now. I've grown so much under your tutelage. I've grown watching you. I've grown in my spiritual life. I'm an able soldier now. I know who to kill and not to kill. I know when to be gracious and I know when to not be gracious. I know the difference between justice and mercy, David. I'm a good soldier after your heart, just like you're after God's heart. And so you got this middle-aged man who steps up to the plate. It's time for some of you younger men who are not older in season to step up to the plate and grow spiritually. But let's look real quickly. We see another group of soldiers. Verse 17 is Abishai, but verse 18 we have the sequential soldiers. Notice the enemy does not relent. He just keeps coming. Generation after generation just keeps coming. Regardless of who's in the Lord's army, old man, middle-aged man, or young men like we're about to see, the enemy does not relent. You know, the devil doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. And there's three of these young soldiers are mentioned by name, and they teach us about being in the Lord's army. If you want to be a victorious soldier for Christ, you've got to have these traits about you. First of all, I would tell you, young people and younger men and ladies, if you want to be a victorious soldier on the battlefield for Christ, first of all, you need to be considerate. And when I'm saying considerate, I don't mean necessarily kind. You need to be kind and you need to be gracious and loving. But when I say considerate, there's something you need to consider. These men looked at David and said, you are the light of Israel. You don't need to be out here physically fighting these Philistines because we don't want the light to be extinguished. And there's two lessons there. One is this. We need to show great honor and respect to our senior adults who have served faithfully for years and years. And we need to learn from them. As a matter of fact, the book of Titus tells us to take the younger women and put them together with the older women. So the older women can teach them how to be ladies. Amen. Multi-generational. And men need to teach young men. And so I would say to you, young guys, I am so blessed by our senior adults here at First Baptist Church. They're faithful, they're kind. Well, there's maybe a few of them, but anyway, they're faithful, they're kind, they're godly people, they're prayer warriors, they're givers, they're servants. They do what they can, when they can, how they can. They may not be able to do what a 25-year-old can do, but they sure do an awful lot for the glory of God. Amen? And I'm thankful for them. And you ought to be thankful for them. And consider them and be considerate of them and appreciate them and help them when you can. But another thing you need to do is be committed. Look at verse 18. Again, they came out and there was this Philistine with the Philistines at Gob, and there was this Philistine descendant of Goliath by the name of Saph, and this fella from Hushat named Sibbecai, he steps up and he takes care of Saph, killed him. The sister text of this, 1 Chronicles 20, says that after Saph killed, after Saph was killed by Sibbecai, it says they, that is the Philistines, were subdued. So from him, Sibbecai, we learn to be committed, to be all in. He just didn't kill his giant and say, I'm done, I'm going to the house, it's up to you to do your job, I've done mine. No, the Bible says after, the whole enemy was subdued. He was all in. He was committed to the very end. He didn't just win one victory and say, that's it, He kept going. Be all in. If you're going to serve the Lord Jesus, be all in, or He doesn't want you. Amen. He doesn't need you. And then be courageous. Look at verse 19. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines where Elhanan, and he was from Bethlehem, he slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, and the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. He was very courageous. This was an intimidating man. He was a big man, just like Goliath was, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. A beam for a weaver was the mechanism that held up the tapestries. And it was thick and about 5 feet long, and you couldn't break it. You couldn't bend it. And this man's spear staff was just like that, not easily broken. And this man, Elhanan from Bethlehem, took him on. Weapons and all. He had great courage. And then another thing, if you're going to be faithful and be victorious for the Lord, not only do you got to be considerate, follow the example of those who've gone before you. You got to be committed, all in. You got to be courageous. But another thing, you got to make right choices for the Lord. You got to make hard choices. Look at verse 20 and 21. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. So we're introduced to this man named Jonathan. Jonathan was a man, just from this one little verse, we learn had to make some hard choices in his life. The first choice he had to make had to do with his courage. Jonathan was the son of Shimeah, David's older brother. David's older brother, we know 2 things about him. Number one, we know that he was not chosen to be king by Samuel. His younger brother was. I don't know how he reacted to that. But the second thing we learned about Shimeah was when David, 50 years prior to this, goes out to see the army, to see his brothers. Remember, his daddy one day said, "Hey, I want you to take some cheese and some food to your brothers in the army." And he goes up to the battlefield, and that's when Goliath shows up. Remember that? And the Bible says when Goliath showed out, the soldiers all hid, including David's older brother Shimeah. And when David gets angry at Goliath defying the armies of the living God, David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this cat thinking he can defy Jehovah God? I'll take him out." And Shimeah says, "Sit down. We know you only came out here to see the battle. You need to get back to our daddy's few sheep and know your place. We've got it covered here. We're hiding behind rocks." And so Jonathan came to a point in his life where he could say, "I can be like my father and hide behind rocks when the enemy shows up. Or I can be like my Uncle David and face him head on with faith in the power of God." And Jonathan had to make that decision. A second decision, not only one of in terms of his courage, but he had to make a decision in terms of his character. Jonathan had an older brother. You've met him before, not too many chapters back. Matter of fact, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Upon a day, one of David's sons named Amnon had a sick thought about his half-sister Tamar. And he wanted to have sexual relations with Tamar. But he found it difficult to do. He had somewhat of a conscience. And the text in 2 Samuel 13 says, "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, Jonathan's brother, David's nephew, Shimei's other son. And Jonadab said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Man, I just love her." And he said, "Let's get a plan. Act like you're sick. Call her into your chambers. Send everybody away. Then have your way with her." And he did. And Jonadab seemed to get away with it scot-free. Later on, he shows up in David's palace, seems to be getting away with that devious, low-life, sorry way he lived. But you know what? We don't know. We don't see him now. He's not getting away with it now. Jonathan had to decide, am I going to be a man of character and integrity, or am I going to be like my brother, a sneaky snake in the grass? And gentlemen and ladies, we have to make those kind of decisions every day. And so you make your choices for Christ. So these are the soldiers in the Lord's army, and they're in our church, and I'm thankful for all of them. They are different. They're in different seasons of their spiritual life. They're in different seasons of their physical life. But they do have two things in common. Number one, regardless of what season you are in life, regardless of whether or not you're stepping up to the plate or you're beginning to grow a little faint in what you can do, regardless, or whether you're like one of these young men who's making good choices and developing character and making a commitment and being courageous and learning and observing, you have this in common. You have a constant enemy. Did you notice you had Ishbi-Benob? You had this guy with six fingers. By the way, we're going to talk about him in a minute. You had this constant enemy. But one thing about them, they were all Philistines. Every one of them. All relatives of Goliath. Every one of them. So notice some truth about the enemy. Notice some truth about the devil. And about the world and the flesh. It's the same. It's always the same intent. They hated David. They hated God. They hated the Israel, God's people. And today they hate God. They hate the Lord. They hate the church. They hate the Bible. And they're against it. It's the same intent. The same intent. Notice also the same intimidation. They were giants. Look, you don't have to watch the news 10 minutes a week and you quickly realize it seems like God's people are losing. Sometimes it's just flat intimidating what's going on in our world. And always the same insolence. They defied Israel. They defy the people of God. But notice it's also always the sordid increase. It just seems like they get new swords, just like this one. Ishbi-Benob. And then there's this guy with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. Interesting. How in the world can we make application for South Mississippi in 2024 with that? Well, let me just say this. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Oh, the world is the same. Temptations are the same as it was back in the good old days. And the devil's still the devil, and we just hear about all this trouble now. We just used to not hear about it." Well, let me just say this with you. The enemy is the same. He's the same nature that he's always been. He's a liar. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil never changes. He's always the same. But I want to tell you something, folks. He manifests himself today in ways that my generation and your generation, if you're my age or older, or maybe a little bit younger and older, never dreamed we'd see. We never dreamed we would see some of the things we're seeing in today's world. These kids, you need to pray for them every day. They are experiencing temptations, and they are seeing things that you and I never dreamed could come about. Never. I graduated high school in 1983. Had to think about it. Need to take that brain medicine. 1983. And I can remember a few of the things that we saw. We had our potheads over here. Amen. That's what we called them. And then you had, back where I grew up, you had your kickers over here. You know, and they were all pretty good guys, good old country boys. And you saw things that weren't godly, and sin was certainly rampant. But these kids, David never saw six fingers on each hand. Abishai scratched his head at that. But these three young guys, they just went after it, didn't they? These kids are seeing some things. Let me tell you something. When I was in school, when I was growing up, a boy knew he was a boy. And a girl knew she was a girl. And the boys thought about the girls. You ever heard the saying, if you think about it long enough, you'll become it? That's not true, because I had to become a girl a long time ago. Amen. Cole didn't like it. I'll hear that. I'll hear about that joke in staff meeting tomorrow. You would too. You would too. But I want to tell you, now these kids are being enamored with the lie that is told as truth, that you might have been born male, but you're not a male. Your sex and your gender are different. Now let me ask you something. If you graduated in 1950, did you ever hear that? No, you did not. There are some strange things come along. Not too long ago, I got a call from one of our administrators. I can't tell you who it was or what school it was. And they said, hey, I want to tell you something that's happening. And he or she said, let me tell you what's happening. And I said to her or him, I just don't want you to know who it was, because they'd lose their jobs. They said, we got kids in our high school that are identifying, and I interrupted, and I said, boys as girls? No. He said, no, not transgender, transspecies. They believe they're cats. Now, you laugh at that because it's not your child. Or it's not you. But if it's your child, you're not going to laugh. How sad it is that we're living in a day where the enemy is manifesting himself this way. And these kids are on the battlefield, folks. It's not the same as it was. The battlefield is different. The enemy's the same, but the battlefield is different. The weapon is untruth. The weapon is hatred for Christ. It's the same, but the manifestation is totally different. It's amazing to me. I shudder and weep for this generation. But what we have to do is we have to realize that not only do we have a constant enemy, but we can also have a consistent victory in the Lord. Verse 22, the enemy can fall by the gospel of Christ that we sang about today. Listen, folks, I want to share the soldiers in the Lord's army, whether you're seasoned, whether you're like old Abishai, you're helping, you're stepping up to the plate, a succoring soldier, or even a sequential soldier, one of these young ones facing these unique methods of the enemy. We got to be recruiting We got to be soul winning. We got to be sharing the gospel. The Lord's army is in need of recruiting and training officers. We get older. We can't do what we once did. This is true. But folks, we got to have another generation coming up. We got to have younger soldiers coming up. Where will First Baptist be in 20 years? In the state of Mississippi, average every year for the past 4 years, 25 churches close their doors. Southern Baptist churches close their doors in the state of Mississippi. 70% of these guys and our children in children's church, 70% when they graduate high school will graduate their faith and not go back. You say, well, why is that, preacher? Is it the music we sing? Is it the message we have? Is it our methods? I don't know, but I want to tell you one reason. Now get ready. One reason is because parents are abdicating to the church what they need to be doing. And that's discipling their kids. Woo! But that's what's happening. That's what's happening. We are one generation away from having no army on the battlefield. Having no soldiers on the battlefield. Look, listen to this. I want to give you this. Moses died, but God had a Joshua to take up the sword. Joshua died, but God had an Ehud, remember him from the book of Judges, a Gideon, a Jephthah, a Deborah. God had some judges who could take up the sword once Joshua had died. The judges died, and then Samuel picked up the sword. He picked up the sword. When Samuel died, David picked up the sword. When David died, Solomon picked up the sword. But read ahead, when Solomon died, it fell apart. The kingdom was split. The north and the south, Judah and Israel. Judah had a good king, an ungodly king, a good king, maybe a good king who turned bad, and it was awful. Israel had wicked kings from day one after Solomon died. And the kingdom fell apart. And went into captivity and has never had a king since. We're one generation away from having no soldiers on the battlefield. So what about this? What do you need to do? Well, folks, I want to tell you we need to pray. We need to be in prayer. We need to pray for our soldiers. We need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for our middle schoolers. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. We need to pray for them. Second of all, we need to win souls. Who's your mission? We still doing who's your mission? I decided this morning I would pray for 10 of them a day. 10 of our missions a day. Your name, if you got a mission, I prayed for you too. But this morning I decided I'm going to take one a day and pray for them throughout the day. Pray for them throughout the day. I'm looking. Cole Rayford, I'm praying for him and his mission today. And so I want to tell you, we got to win souls. You got to get on mission. And then we got to invest in the next generation in every way we can. Invest in the generation coming after you with prayer, spiritual investment, being an example, being an encouragement, being present. You say, how do we do that? You come up and ask Cole, how can I help? What can I do? He's not going to look at you and say, well, you're 80 years old. He's going to look at you and say, I'll tell you what you can do. And then I want to tell you something. If you're a leader, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you got a ministry here at First Baptist that you do, and you want that ministry to survive after you're gone, you need to train somebody to replace you. You need to always be in the business of training and discipling your replacement. That's the next generation. What's going to happen to your ministry when you're gone? What's going to happen? Man, every Sunday morning I've got about 5 different preachers I pray for. And 3 of them are my proteges. Folks, I want to tell you something. We have some great opportunities ahead of us as a church for the next generation. I think we need to consider staffing for the next generation. I think we need to look ahead a little bit and consider some staffing that places their emphasis, ministry emphasis, on children and their families. That's just what I think. I don't know if it holds any weight around here, but that's what I think. But I want to tell you, folks, we're going to grow faint one day. As I was studying this message, the Lord said, you know, one day you're going to be too faint to preach. And I said, I don't know, Lord, that's a long way off. And they said, you can't run anymore. I said, well, you're right. I want to tell you, folks, we got to be on the battlefield. Stay as long as you can. Do everything you can when you can. And if God says you can't get out here and fight the Philistines anymore, there's other enemies to fight. There's other things to do. We need warriors in the prayer closets. We need warriors in the encouragement rooms. There's many things. And if you're young and strong, like you're Abishai, and you're growing in the Lord, get busy. And let's raise up an army. Let's stand for our song of appeal.